part of our Catholic tradition, we speak about spirituality and that spirituality is important. And spirituality is all aimed at an intimate sharing of life with God, a personal relationship with the Lord, a familiarity with the Lord. And in an authentic Catholic or Christian spirituality, there's one thing that's always essential, that it has to be focused on the person of Jesus. So Christ always has to be the reference point. So it's called Christocentric. It's Christ-centered. So to the degree that it's a relationship with God or spirituality is distant or separate from the person of Christ, it's not authentic. All right? Now, that being said, all of them have to have that. There are options as far as Christian spiritualities. We know that there are lots of religious orders and religious in the church. So you have all the traditional orders, the Dominicans, the Jesuits, the Franciscans, the Benedictines. They're all Christ-centered. They all have a Christ-centered spirituality. But there's a certain personality, you might say, to each of their individual spiritualities. They focus on imitating the person of Jesus in different ways. So for example, the Passionists, they have a particular ministry, they preach. And what do you think is maybe a hallmark or a focus of their spirituality? The Passion of Jesus, right? Okay? Benedictines, right? And remember that all religious take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. So that's common to all of them around the person of Jesus. But the Benedictines, what part of the Christ life do they focus on that's part of their spirituality? Well, the living together as community and praying together as their work. So that is unique to their spirituality. The Dominicans, they take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But what is their particular focus and personality as far as their apostolate and their spirituality? One is they... like the Franciscans, they are mendicant, they're beggars, you might say. And the other is that their apostle is focused on preaching and teaching. Now, in the Catholic Church, we know that there are religious orders, they have different spiritualities, all focused on the person of Christ. But what's been a challenge is, what about the laity, those who are not religious, the other 98.9% of the Catholic Church? But one thing that the Second Vatican Council did was establish and promote the ideal that every Christian is called to the heights of holiness, not just religious or priests, every single Christian. And so there has to be then a type of spirituality for the laity that it's that's a radical spirituality, not like a second tier or second level, you know, life of faith. You have, you know, the religious up here and then everybody else. No, every single person is called to the heights of the spiritual life. So what's been done in the past is basically lay people who want to get serious about their interior life and their prayer life, they copy aspects of the spirituality of a religious order. So you have like third order religious, like third order Benedictines. So sometimes they would go, maybe a couple times a year they're required to go to a monastery, and maybe they pray certain prayers during the day. And that's a way for them to share in a Benedictine spirituality. But is there a spirituality that's proper to the laity? And here's the thing. In order for it to truly be, you know, an authentic spirituality that moves one to the heights of the spiritual life, it has to be radical. Just like we hear in those about the women, the first reading, and in the gospel, that they were available to the Lord and they gave everything that they had. They were radical. So an authentic spirituality has to be radical in whatever way, in whatever flavor or personality it takes. Well, in my mind, I think we're on the edge in the church of beginning to discover a radical, authentic spirituality for the faithful, the lay faithful, that's not based upon a religious order. And I think it's really called stewardship spirituality. The spirituality of stewardship. For it to be authentic, it has to be focused on who? Jesus Christ, right? So it has to be Christian in that way. So what's unique to a stewardship spirituality? Well, the Passion is focused on the Passion of Christ. The Dominicans focus on Christ the teacher. The Franciscans focus on the poor Christ. Well, stewardship spirituality begins with the first word of the definition of stewardship, the grateful, grateful. I think the hallmark trait of a stewardship spirituality is one that's based upon gratitude to God. And gratitude doesn't happen accidentally. We have to work to remain in gratitude. And so that's why we have the four pillars of stewardship, of hospitality, prayer, formation, and service, and then the different expressions of stewardship, time, talent, and treasure. But the core of it is rooted in gratitude. Now, there's a lot that we could say about that, and I just kind of wanted to introduce that that idea today, because I do think that there needs to be an authentic, legitimate, original spirituality for the laity that's radical. That's not just second tier or just copying a religious order. And so that's why it's so important, I think, for us to keep digging and struggling with it, especially each November when we have our stewardship renewal. It's a time to reflect upon what stewardship means and what does it mean for me and my relationship with the Lord and my relationship with my neighbor. So part of that, that goal of November to reflect more deeply upon what stewardship is and to begin to discover a stewardship spirituality is that the bishop asks us to have witness speakers. People, the witness, give testimony to their experience of living out the stewardship way of life. This is not to canonize certain people like, oh, this person's number one, and so, yeah, we'll choose them and they can witness. No, it's for a person to share a little bit about their own story of living the stewardship way of life, out the stewardship way of life. And the purpose of this is not to highlight the witness speaker. It's for us to hear how someone else is living stewardship as part of their spirituality what it looks like in life. Because when we hear the stories, just like we read the lives and stories of the saints, what happens? We're like, maybe I could do that. Or that's a good idea. Or that's a different spin. Did you see the front page of the Wichita Eagle today? A whole feature on Father Capon. Well, you know, if Father Capon becomes a saint, it's not to give him glory. He's already in heaven. That would be the case, right? The purpose is that we can reflect, and hopefully some of his life is imitatable for us, and that we can be called to go higher. And so I'm happy to introduce Jennifer Ryder, who's going to share a little bit about her living out of the stewardship way of life.
Good morning. As Father said, my name is Jennifer Ryder, and while I'm no longer a parishioner of Blessed Sacrament, I have long considered this parish my home. Growing up in this stewardship way of life, one hears a lot of buzzwords about what stewardship is. Rarely do we hear what stewardship is not. Stewardship is not a capital campaign, nor is it a resume builder. In leaving this parish community, I've been graced with an outsider's perspective. This has allowed me to refine my own personal definition of stewardship. Stewardship is the conscious recognition that we have been immeasurably and undeservedly blessed. Having grown up in Wichita, I assumed that stewardship was the way of life of all Catholics, that all Catholic schools were rigorously focused on the formation of disciples, that all Catholic parishes were vibrantly communal. I made the assumption that all Catholic communities were deeply rooted in prayer, as evidenced by perpetual adoration chapels. Yet what is true here is not true elsewhere. Since graduating from Cape and Mount Carmel in 2005, I've belonged to four different parishes in three different cities. Not one was a stewardship parish. No diocese offered perpetual adoration, and not a single school was tithing-based. This is when I came to the realization that stewardship itself is such a gift. I stand before you today to personally thank you for that gift that you, the parishioners of Blessed Sacrament Parish, have bestowed upon me. You gave me the opportunity to attend challenging schools for free. I received that gift at no cost to my family and at no cost to myself. Simply your great generosity set the stage for my collegiate, postgraduate, and now professional success. And I thank you for that. I'm even more grateful, however, for the fact that this education was truly a Catholic education, one that offered consistent prayer and formation in the way, mission, and purpose of Christ Jesus. And with this foundation, how could I not serve his fellow children? A year before I received my cape and diploma, I received the sacrament of confirmation from Bishop Olmsted at this communion rail. And in second grade, I received my first confession from Father Eck in that confessional. Short weeks later, I received my first communion steps from where I stand now. And at my kindergarten graduation, my parents watched from these pews as I sang these words. I heard that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I don't know much about hearts and things, but I'm glad you treasure me. I have received grace upon grace in these four walls. And I received that grace for the first time on June 19, 1988, when I was baptized in that baptismal font. On that day, I received my baptismal call to cultivate Christ's kingdom, to take him wherever it is that I might go. I hope you're starting to gather from my story that stewardship is not one of giving at all. Rather, stewardship is a story of receiving. Receiving his gifts gratefully and gracefully, and recognizing that it is through sharing in these great gifts that we can actually participate in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. As with any gift, over time, we become accustomed to it. But the exemplary gift of stewardship is the way of eternal life. Whenever we are tempted to accept stewardship as commonplace, let us challenge those viewpoints. Let us remember that it is something much deeper. It is people loving people regardless of the cost. And this is a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. I ask you during this stewardship renewal season to prayerfully ask God to show you your own unique gifts. Welcome him into this conversation regarding your personal talents, your familial finances, and how you're spending the precious gift of time. And ask him also for the confidence to act in service. Christ came with a mission, and he left us here to continue on in that mission. Christ has no body now on earth but ours, and no hands on earth but ours, no tongue to share the good news. The task is ours to bring about his kingdom, for on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for always welcoming me home with open arms. It's such a gift to be received so hospitably.